differentiate between the two. Thus, what are the sources? And we said this pillar is called the educational pillar, or the educational principle. What are the sources of education, of information on marriage? Well, for one, it is definitely not soap operas or not movies that are made in Hollywood. Our number one source of information on marriage are the teachings of the Ahl Bayt, the narrations of the Ahl Bayt, the family of the Prophet. It is these wise, highly educated people that teach us which sort of life to live and which sort of spouse to choose and how to raise our family members. They teach us these things, but unfortunately many times we neglect these teachings and we rarely pay attention to what they teach us. We come across many teachings, we come across many narrations, but we neglect them. We take them for granted. Thus, the Ahl Bayt, they give us very important teachings that if we were to follow, our marriage will be successful. Number one, in the book of Al-Wasa'il, Wasa'il al-Shia, on the chapter of marriage and nikah, the Imams have been quoted saying, اختاروا المرأة الجميلة, choose a good-looking wife. Of course, looks aren't the only thing that matter. There are many things that matter. In fact, looks should come second or third to many other factors that should matter in religion, in marriage. However, looks play a very important role. If you are not attracted to your spouse, if a husband is not attracted to his wife and his wife is not attracted to him, this marriage will fall apart, because it's this attraction. This attraction will play a major role in bringing the husband and the wife together. That is why the Imams say, اختاروا المرأة الجميلة الضحوك الحسناء الوجه, a wife that is beautiful, that smiles, that has a cute and pretty face. طويلة الشعر, she who has long hair. These are aspects of beauty that the Imam says. Choose a beautiful wife, and this will advance your marriage. This will prolong your marriage. The Imams also say, لا تزوج المرأة العقيم, don't choose a wife that's infertile, a wife, a woman that cannot have kids. Why? Because the Imam knows that if you choose a wife that doesn't have kids, sooner or later that will create a problem in this marriage and it will end up in divorce. The Imam is trying to bring up these factors in order to prevent divorce, in order to make this marriage successful. That's why he says, choose someone that's beautiful, choose someone who's fertile and not infertile, so that you avoid a divorce. I advise my brothers and sisters, the youth who are considering marriage, to take these narrations of the Ahl Bayt in consideration, to consider them, to read them, and to practice them in order for them to have a successful marriage. This is one source of information on marriage. Number two, psychology and sociology and other fields of science such as these also help. Why? Because when you read psychology and sociology, you will learn how men think and how women think. You will learn what men need and what women need. You will learn what the necessities of women are and what the necessities of men are. And you will be able to provide those necessities. When you don't know what this woman needs and what this man needs, you won't be able to help them. For example, it is said that women need a sense of security. If a man can't provide that sense of security for that woman, he'll be a failure, and that marriage will be a failure. This is the first principle, the educational principle. The second principle is the ethical principle, the ethical pillar. What do I mean by that? During marriage, the spouses, the husband and wife, will come across many problems. They will come across many fights. If they do not base their marriage on certain principles, on certain ethical principles, this marriage will fall apart. That is why there are certain principles that a marriage should be based upon. For example, patience. Don't get mad. Always have patience and tolerance with the other spouse. If you're always patient, a fight will never occur. Number two, learn to say thank you. Always say thank you. If you always say thank you, if you're considerate of your others, of the spouse, a fight will never occur. Many wives complain that their husbands never say thank you. Whatever you provide them, they never say thank you. And this is wrong. Number three, satisfaction. Be satisfied. Stop complaining. Be satisfied with whatever the other spouse offers. There are many husbands complain. They say that whatever we offer our wives, they're never satisfied. Also, another very important pillar, pretend you never heard it, as I like to call it. In narrations, it's called al-taghabi wal-taghaful. Act stupid. Act as if you didn't hear it. Throughout marriage, you will come across many statements, many words said to you. It is better to pretend as if you didn't hear. You will hear many harsh words. You will hear many harsh statements. Pretend as if you just didn't hear it. Pretend as if it didn't matter. If you act like that, a fight will never occur. Number five, one of the ethical principles. Have no expectations. Don't expect anything. Many of the fights that occur is because the husband expects too many things or the wife expects too many things. The husband comes back home and he expects his food to be ready, a warm meal to be ready on the dinner table when he comes back from work. The wife, on the other hand, she expects the husband to call her 15 or 20 times a day from work. And if he doesn't, it'll be a problem. These expectations is what causes most of the problems in a marriage. But if you don't have any expectations, everything will be fine. This was the second pillar. The third pillar, the emotional pillar. Showing your emotions to your spouse. Showing your gratitude, showing your compassion, showing your love. In fact, we have many narrations that say a wife who tells her husband, "I love you," she will have so and so rewards. Yes, because these emotions, saying "I love you" to your spouse, this will keep the emotions running high in the marriage. This will keep the marriage lasting longer. A marriage with emotions will last. A marriage empty of emotions, it will be hard for that marriage to last. And the last pillar is the religious pillar. What do I mean by that? A religious pillar meaning to keep religion and faith part of the marriage. To remain religious and to keep your spouse religious as well. Help each other in the matters of religion. If your husband doesn't recite the Quran, if he doesn't know how to recite the Quran, teach him. If your wife doesn't wake up for morning prayer, wake her up for morning prayer. Why? Because it's faith and religion that will prevent the husband and wife from oppressing one another. A religious husband will never oppress his wife. A religious wife will never become disloyal to her husband. A religious husband and wife will know their duties and will know their responsibilities. And it has been said that Sheikh Hussein Taha Najaf, a very well-known scholar, they once saw him crying. They told him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "For many years, my wife, even during the summer and during the winter, my wife would take a bucket." Of course, this was about 100 years or 70, 80 years ago. She would take a bucket. There's a well outside of our house. She would take this bucket, fill this bucket with water, cold water, during the winter. she'll take it back to me, and I'd perform wudu and drink from this water. But it's been a few days that my wife has fallen sick, and she can't do this for me. I have to do it myself. So they told him, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because of the hardship that my wife had to endure during these days. I'm afraid Allah might punish me for allowing my wife to do such things. This is a religious man that knows his duties and knows his rights. One of the imams has been recorded saying, he says, I have a wonderful wife. This wife, when I come inside the house, she comes to the door to greet me. When I leave, she comes and she bids me farewell to the door. When I'm sad, she tells me, why are you sad? If you're sad for worldly matters, then you shouldn't be sad, because there's someone else who's taking care of it for you. And if you're sad for the next life, then may Allah add to your sadness. This is a religious wife who knows how to treat a religious husband. In Karbala, there were also many pious wives that stood in support of their pious husbands. And in fact, if it wasn't for these wives, if it wasn't for such women, these men could not have done their duty on the day of Ashura. One of these women, there were many of these wives, many of these women, but we will take one as an example. One was the wife of Wahab. Wahab was among the companions of Imam Hussein that took participation. He participated in the Battle of Ashura in Karbala. Wahab was Christian. However, he had converted at the hands of Imam Hussein, and him, his mother, and his wife, they came to the camp of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. Not only was Wahab a Christian, but he was also a newlywed. Him and his wife had just recently gotten married. His mother, after the companions of Imam Hussein, one by one, enter into the battlefield, one by one, they fall dead on the battleground. His mother comes to him, and she tells him, are you willing to leave your imam without support? I wish to see you in the battlefield. The same way these men have entered into the battlefield, I wish for you to take up your sword, your weapon, and to enter the battlefield. His wife, she tells him, no, Wahab, we have just recently gotten married. We haven't seen anything in this life yet. We haven't enjoyed our marriage. You wish to make me a widow? His mother insists. She tells him, don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. I want the best for you. Enter into the battlefield and fight. Wahab takes his sword and he enters into the battlefield. His wife begs him not to go. His wife keeps on begging him not to make her a widow and to stay with her in the camp. Wahab ignores her pleads and he enters into the battlefield. Moments later, he sees his wife shouting, his wife calling for him. He looks back and he sees that it's his wife. He goes back to the tents and he says, yes, what is it that you need? She tells him, my dear Wahab, I want you to go back into the battlefield and I want you to fight until you're killed, until you've reached martyrdom. He says, this is a shock. This is a surprise. Moments before you were telling me not to fight, and now you're telling me to go into the battlefield and to fight until death. She says, don't blame me, Ya Wahab. What drives me to tell you this is my aching heart when I hear our Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he keeps on shouting, Ala hal min nasirin yansuruna. Is there anyone to protect us? Is there anyone to guard our women, to guard our children? It is these shouts from Imam Hussein that have burnt my heart, that have ached my heart. And that's why I plead to you to enter back into the battlefield and to fight until death. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.